When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
How do we perceive these receivers? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P., Joe Pizzapia, and today it's our special edition of Between Two Matts. That's right, because I am between, of course, Matthew Friedman, one ear, and Matthew Harmon in the other. So we're going to be using last names only in the show today, but today is a very important program. It's all about the wide receiver rankings and the tiers. We did this last week with the running backs. This is a very important program because this is really how we do that deep dive into the position, into the player pool, the players to look for, the players to avoid. And of course, at some point in time, there will be, I assume, an Allen Robinson rant from Matthew Friedman. But Matt Harmon joins us from Yahoo. He's the creator of Reception, Perception, and of course, many other Schoolhouse Rock favorites. Matthew Harmon, is so nice to have you here on the show today, Matt. How are you doing this offseason as we are approaching the season?
I'm doing good. Honestly, guys, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, the closer we get to week one, the more I'm like, man, I'm kind of ready to see the answers to the test at this point, right? Like, there's been so much player movement, especially at this particular position, that I'm ready to see, you know, Allen Robinson, how does he perform at the Rams? You know, AJ Brown, is he actually going to get 11 billion targets in the Eagles offense, as some beat reporters have put it, because of the way it's looking in training camp? Again, I'm ready to see this play out, but we still got a little bit ways to go, and people got a lot of drafts to do between then and now. So I'm excited to talk about it today.
That's an excellent point. I kind of feel the same way. We're just kind of like, all right, like, I also don't want to hyperventilate over everything. I was reading, I always like to do this. I was like, go back a year ago and look at some of the 2021 buzz camp stuff going on, which is always fun. And one of my favorite things, Friedman, was I found a thing. It was like Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield on the same page and ready to go. And I thought, wow, if that doesn't tell you everything about training camp and maybe to take some things with a giant grain of salt, I don't know what does.
Yeah. Also, remember, at that same time, DeSean Jackson was the new shiny wide receiver for the Rams.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
I mean, training camp, who knows?
Who knows? But we know. We know what's going on with the wide receivers. We've done our homework. We're prepared for the exams, for the SATs, and any other tests that might be out there. But before we get into everything, I want to remind everybody, you've got to start preparing as well. And there's no better tool to prepare with than our fantasy football draft kit, available right now at fantasypros.com/kit. We've got the rankings from all of our analysts, the ADP, the player profiles, the position primers, everything you could possibly need to dominate your draft. And of course, most of the content is free, but if you're a premium subscriber to Fantasy Pros, you get even more as a subscriber. to the draft kit. And I keep telling you, we got the special little way to do it. If you go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a deposit with one of our partner sites. It's very simple. If you're going to make a couple wagers, you're going to play some DFS, find which site works for you, make the deposit, go do that. Cause you know, and I know you're going to do that anyway. So you might as well get 6 free months of premium Fantasy Pros membership. That's right. 6 months. It's going to take you all the way through the fantasy football season. You get to use all the draft tools, all the in-season tools. We just had that draft intel tool draft, which is absolutely stunning. It just dropped this week, where you can basically know all the tendencies of everyone in your home league by uploading all that. And if you're a premium member, you can mock against all of those. So talk about getting prepared for the real tests, because the drafts that you're in with your friends, your family, and your enemies, those are the real tests. And we're going to get you prepared. So go check out the draft kit at fantasypros.com/kit. Go premium today at fantasypros.com/offers. The best of all the worlds. And again, for what? For playing some more fantasy football and making some wagers. You're going to do that anyway. So you might as well use all the tools we have along with it. Now, today, obviously, we're going to be using our fantasypros.com/rankings over at wide receiver, which you can check out for yourself. See all the tiers, the ECR, the ADP, and everything in between. And we're going to be using our half point PPR system as well, or half PPR, excuse me. I know one of our people gets very upset if I say the extra point, and I don't want to get docked before the show even starts. But let's start with the ones. Let's start with the guys at the top of the board, gentlemen. So again, I'm trying to use last name so I don't confuse myself today. The very top tier, we've got Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. So, Harmon, when we're looking at this list right now, Cooper Kupp is coming off a historic season. Well, let's just put it that way. Those are typically very difficult to repeat. And also with the Stafford elbow thing, which he says is a big deal. Other people like to use the word abnormal, which doesn't make me feel very comfortable. Is Cooper Kupp still the true number one in your ranking?
Yeah, he is for right now, but I could hear an argument for Justin Jefferson being there, and I might flip him by the end of the process too. I mean, I think Jefferson's got such a good outlook this year, such a great player. I mean, he is just checks every box from an ability standpoint, and he's a true phenom at the position, I believe. So I can totally see Jefferson being one. I've still got Cooper Kupp there for right now. The elbow thing is funny because part of me thinks that this has become a big story because Sean McVay is such a dramatic speaker. Like he's the one who's like, this is an abnormal thing for quarterbacks. I'm breathing easier or sleeping easier after seeing him throw. It's like, it is interesting to me that I guess this is actually something that Stafford dealt with last year and that he's more bothered by the management plan than the pain part of the elbow thing. So I don't know. I haven't taken too much worry about the Stafford elbow situation. I've still got Kupp number one, but if you want to put Jefferson there, man, I'm not going to argue it.
Well, I do. So let's not argue. Let's stay friends here for the beginning of the show. And I have, and I keep saying that I think if at the end of the year, if I believe that Justin Jefferson is the 1-1 player, then I should take him any chance I get in the first round, regardless of position, regardless of what it is. And that's something I've been doing here on the program consistently in every show that we do. I don't know if we've talked about Cooper Kupp much, Friedman. Does the repeatability factor of what happened last year where everything just broke right for Cooper Kupp and Stafford in that relationship? And not to say that, you know, the league is caught up. I mean, obviously, if you didn't catch up by week four, they weren't catching up. But now they've had a lot more time to really game plan against it and really think about it and what they're going to do here. Should we be just anointing Cooper Kupp as the 1-1, or is Chase or Jefferson really the correct answer?
I think, yes, we should anoint Cooper Kupp as the 1-1. But I will say, like, I don't have much of a, I don't know, much of an inclination to argue if you want to have Jefferson number one. I had a tweet a couple of days ago about how if the elbow injury seems to be something that persists or, you know, is exacerbated for some reason during training camp, I would move Jefferson to the wide receiver one. And on the one hand, people were like, it's about time. Or like, why haven't you done it yet? And then there were the other people who were like, are you crazy? Cooper Kupp is awesome. He's going to smash again. And I guess that's just the sign of where we are in the draft season, but it's also a sign of like, there's balance between those two, right? I think they are, I think they are in a tier, I'd say half tier above Ja'Marr Chase. What I like about Cooper Kupp is that he does have the continuity within that offensive system. Like we've seen him do it before. As great as Justin Jefferson is, we haven't seen him do it in this new system. And I think the system will probably be good for him, but it's not a certainty that the system will be good for him. And you know, Kirk Cousins, he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's the caliber of quarterback that Matthew Stafford is. So, and I'll just say Kevin O'Connell, probably a good offensive play caller, but we know that Sean McVay definitely is a good offensive play caller. So that's why I go towards Cooper Kupp. But Justin Jefferson, a phenomenal player, like already on a Hall of Fame trajectory, if he's able to continue doing what he's done previously, I don't think you could go wrong with either one as the first wide receiver.
Well, picking up what you just talked about there, Harmon, do you think that because it's a new offense, because there's a little bit of that unknown factor, and then you look at Ja'Marr Chase, who we all have third, I believe, in our rankings, behind Jefferson, why isn't Chase number two then, theoretically? Because continuity is there. The relationship with Joe Burrow is already there and established for a long time. But also, we know what we're getting in terms of the play calling and the coaching staff. So should that be taken into account, or is the margin between Chase and Jefferson further than people realize, or closer?
I think it's pretty close. I think that people would probably argue, you know, Justin Jefferson's got a cleaner path to getting like a 28-30% of the Vikings passing targets than certainly Ja'Marr Chase does. Although, you know, Adam Thielen's still kicking around there. You know, they're going to incorporate 11 personnel more often, more receivers on the field in Minnesota. Again, as Friedman said, it's all kind of in theory at this point, but that's the expectation. Whereas we know with the Bengals, they are going to play a ton of 11 personnel. Tyler Boyd's still going to command targets. T. Higgins is a really, really good player, and I think has an argument to be a wide receiver one along with Ja'Marr Chase. So I think that would probably be the argument against it. But I think those, I kind of like how Friedman said it, that they're all in the same tier. And I also have Stephon Diggs in this tier as well. Okay. In the first tier. But I think there's a little bit of barrier between Kupp and Jefferson and Chase and Diggs, just because, and I mean, honestly, you would argue that, or at least I would argue that Diggs has a cleaner path to 27% of the Bills targets than Ja'Marr Chase does in Cincinnati. I think that's probably the one argument against Chase. I don't really care about any of the, like, the regression stuff, the per target metrics, whatever. Chase is a great player and will continue to make up the gap in other ways.
Yeah. I keep coming back to the same thing with Kupp though, which is I see 1,947 yards. And I just feel like the expectations, I mean, if I asked you who has a better chance to get 1,600 yards this year, Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson, my answer is Justin Jefferson without hesitation, just because I think what last year, also the tread on the tires when you add in the playoffs as well for Cooper Kupp, that kind of worries me. With Chase, I feel like there could even be this plateau that we haven't even seen yet. I mean, it was his rookie season. I mean, I think some of us kind of forget that. It's like, what if he's better? Which is a terrifying idea for the rest of the league, but very exciting for fans.
Rookie season while also not playing college football in his final season.
And
that's a huge gap. So yeah,
and the whole,
I agree.
Stripe on the ball thing, which was also something last camp that everybody was really concerned about in 2021. So much for camp buzz. But those are the elite guys. And I think those three, pretty much everyone has them. We can all argue all day long about who should be the one, but at the end of the day, three first round talents, no matter what. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of year where everybody's looking for CeeDee Lamb, but have you seen these balls? That's right, because they are Manscaped. You don't want your huddle looking like Aaron Rodgers, all unkempt and weird with all hairs pointing in different directions. No, you want it nice and clean and smooth like Tom Brady. So if you want to make sure that your package is up to snuff, make sure you get the Performance Package 4.0 and join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and use that promo code JOEYP when you go check out at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's right, the promo code is JOEYP. In the Performance Package, you're going to get the Lawnmower 4.0 for all the hair everywhere. You're going to get the Weed Whacker for your ear and nose hair. You're going to get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, and the Performance Boxer Briefs. They're also going to throw in a nice little travel bag for all this stuff for your sack. It's a sack full of things for your sack. Tom Brady didn't come out of retirement for you to have hairy balls. So go to Manscaped right now. Get that Lawnmower 4.0. Get that Performance Package for your package. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code JOEYP. Again, that's manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP. Your balls will thank you. And now, back to the action. Now, in terms of this next group, let's talk about Stephon Diggs is at 4 here in the ECR. Then Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill. So these are all established names, all very familiar. One guy that you guys have a big discrepancy on is Mike Evans. So Mike Evans here is number 8 on the board. Harmon, you've got him at wide receiver 5. Friedman at wide receiver 12. Friedman, why have you knocked down Mike Evans almost on teetering outside of wide receiver one altogether?
Yeah, I just want to say I love Mike Evans. Like as a player, I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. When Julio Jones was a free agent, which maybe I'm tipping my hand here. When Julio Jones was a free agent, I did have Mike Evans as the wide receiver five. I think he's got that upside, certainly. But given the addition of Julio Jones, and then given the, I would say, accelerated path to playing time of Chris Godwin, like I wasn't expecting Godwin to be healthy for the first month. And he might not really be fully healthy, but he still might be out there playing enough snaps and getting some targets. So given that those two guys could be on the field as early as week one, Mike Evans is someone that I'm going to have just a little bit of not skepticism about, but just guardedness relative to where I was ranking him previously. I'm obviously like immense upside, but just yards per target been declining a little bit the past few seasons. So I don't think he's the same Mike Evans from a few years ago, still, you know, like 1,000-yard double digit touchdown upside. But I don't think he has that like league winner upside that I previously projected when Godwin was going to be on the bench and Julio Jones wasn't with the team.
Well, the consistency, Harmon, of Evans is off the chart. I think people see that and they want to run to it. And I understand why. There's a safety to it. The people point out that sometimes the game log can be a little erratic too. It's not exactly like you're getting it divided over 17 weeks necessarily same. And that is sometimes a knock on Mike Evans, right? Well, there's a little bit of dormant side, but you could say that about a lot of wide receivers. I think sometimes that's just the nature of the beast to a certain extent. So you see the other side of the coin with Evans. You're buying into what aspect of it? The consistency, the last ride of Tom Brady into the sunset. Why do you have Mike Evans still, I mean, higher actually than the consensus right now?
Yeah, I'm a little bit slow to adjust here because I take all of Friedman's points there, you know, really heavily.
He is an influencer. I've heard.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, so I had Mike Evans really bullishly ranked, you know, prior to all of the, you know, changes that we've just talked about. And, you know, I was on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast with Dalton, subscriber, if you get your podcast. And I was kind of actively saying like, I want to actually move CeeDee Lamb ahead of Mike Evans because I really want to be bullish on CeeDee Lamb. And I think, you know, by the end of the day, I might end up doing it. So I might have Evans at wide receiver six, and then I could kind of debate him with Davante Adams there right after. But I do still want to put like a flag on Mike Evans this year because I think he can lead the NFL in touchdowns. We know he's going to get 1,000 yards. Like the loss of Gronk in the red zone will certainly be huge. But the more good things we hear about Chris Godwin, although it sounds like they're not going to totally ramp him up until maybe, you know, the middle or second half of the season. But like Friedman said, he's going to be out there most likely getting targets. Julio Jones is tough for me, man, because I do think I don't have any questions about Mike Evans declining as a player, but I definitely have questions about Julio Jones declining as a player, given what he was as an individual in Tennessee last year. But I mean, he's still going to be out there and commanding looks. And I mean, they got him wearing like number 85. They might have him playing like a tight end type of role. I'm being somewhat facetious with that.
All right, let's get to the destination on the rest of these guys. Friedman, when you look at this group, and it's a star-studded group, Debo coming off a great season, Tyreek Hill in a new spot, but certainly a very exciting player, CeeDee Lamb, Adams, Diggs. Who has the best chance, do you think, to finish as wide receiver one overall if everything really broke right for them? Anybody from this group at all?
Yeah, I'd say the best chance is Stephon Diggs because we've pretty much seen him do it. He's the only player in the league with 160-plus targets over the past two seasons. But, you know, Harmon made the great case for him. So I'll just say, you know, Diggs is number one. But I think pretty close after that is CeeDee Lamb, who,
yep, right.
I mean, people have talked about how he's been a disappointment for the past 2 years, but he's had over 1,000 scrimmage yards in his two seasons in the NFL. He can play across the formation. You know, now with Cooper gone, with Cedric Wilson gone, he's going to be playing almost every snap. He's going to be out there for almost every target. So I think he's going to have a ton of volume coming his direction, and he's still ascending. He was just a 21-year-old rookie. You know, he's still in that upward trajectory phase of his career. I think this is a massive breakout year for CD.
All right, reverse it. Who in this group do you think finishes outside of wide receiver one? Because we all know every year there's a certain attrition at this group where we think, oh, these are the top 12 guys, and usually we get seven of them coming back or usually, you know, maybe at best, sometimes half. So is there somebody you think that could fall out of this top 12 or top 10?
Yeah, I mean, Deebo Samuel and Tyreek Hill are the two guys who come most immediately to my mind. Both of them are going to have different quarterback situations than they had last year, so that could be a contributing factor. I think both of them are going to be in offenses that skew a little more towards the run than the offenses that they had last year. Deebo Samuel, I mean, I think that 49ers offense could still be pretty good, but Trey Lance has that strong arm. Maybe he focuses a little more on Brandon Ayuk going down the field. Maybe Deebo Samuel isn't the guy who gets all of those, you know, like Jimmy Garoppolo-esque type of targets near the line of scrimmage and creates a lot of yak after that. Maybe that's just not so much the offense with Trey Lance at quarterback and Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's great. We've seen what he's been able to do, but there is a step down, obviously, from Patrick Mahomes to Tua Tagovailoa. And
really?
Yeah,
not according to Tyreek Hill.
Not according to Tyreek Hill, but I'm here to teach him something. Okay, Tagovailoa is no Mahomes, and Jalen Waddle. I think his rookie season was a little overstated, but he did have a ton of targets coming his direction, and it's not as if all of those are going to shift over to Tyreek Hill. So those are the two guys who stand out to me as guys who are good wide receivers, very talented, but because of the circumstances around them, might underperform expectations.
All right, same question to you, Harmon. Who do you think has the upside to be number one overall in this cluster, and who do you think has the downside to finish outside wide receiver one altogether?
100% agree. It's CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this idea that he's being ranked or drafted at his ceiling. Well, he's not, because I agree his ceiling is wide receiver one overall this year. He has a great chance to lead the NFL in targets, given the depth chart that's around him in Dallas. And like Friedman said, he's really good. I don't care about what he produced with Amari Cooper. Like losing a player like Amari, even I think Cooper's a little bit overrated, but moving on from a player like that, having that much out of the offense is huge for a player like CeeDee Lamb. And then obviously you add in Michael Gallup not being 100% for week one, not even going to play week one, according to him. The runway is just totally clear for CeeDee Lamb to smash this year. He's tethered to a good quarterback in Dak Prescott. I agree. I'm like I said, I want to bump him up to wide receiver five ahead of Mike Evans. I'm keep talking about it. I should probably just do it at this point. So
we're just going to call this the Harmon Rankings review. I think we should just change the name of the show today. Let's just do it. With Matt Harmon.
Isn't every podcast at this point like, all right, that was a good point, let me go adjust.
It is, yeah, and shouldn't they all be? Isn't that the point? Like,
yeah,
why else are we all getting together here to talk about this if not to all challenge each other and open each other's eyes to things that maybe we have biases about that we don't realize, or maybe we should, you know, we should look at things a little differently and not have such tunnel vision. It's not that we shouldn't stick with our opinions and stick with the research and the homework we've done. But the whole point is getting in a room. What's the adage? If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Well, luckily, I never have that problem here, obviously. But still, I feel like that's the whole point. That's why we do this. We're trying to all get better, and we're trying to challenge each other. And I'm with you guys in terms of Lamb. And I've been a guy who's been on CeeDee Lamb for 2 years. And I think sometimes when it starts to stall out, when you're looking for that giant breakout number one overall ceiling, it doesn't happen, you start to get frustrated. It's kind of how I felt about Mike Williams the last few years. Been a Mike Williams guy, but then the injuries, the issues, bad offensive line, bad quarterback play at the end of the Phillip Rivers tenure, all that stuff starts to grate on you, and it's hard to learn to love again sometimes on some of these players or see the upside. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fantrax. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. Create or join a fantasy football commissioner league, invite your friends, and dominate your draft this season. Go deep with the ultimate keeper and dynasty leagues, create simple redraft league, or even a customizable best ball league with up to 2,000 teams. Fantrax's free NFL Fantasy Football League Manager is the most customizable, easy-to-use, and feature-rich platform in the industry. If you're coming from another service, don't worry. Fantrax can import your current league and customize it as needed. Ever have a trade go wrong or make a mistake dropping a player? Fantrax Commissioner tools allow you to undo any move with one simple click. Among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, college basketball, college football, golf, soccer, even NASCAR, Fantrax is there. If there's anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax has it. Fantasy sports doesn't sleep, and neither does Fantrax, with seasons running 365 days a year. There's a reason why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it their permanent home for all of their fantasy leagues. Sign up for free today and be entered to win the Fantrax Game Day experience, where we'll send one lucky fantasy league to an NFL game of their choice, along with $6,000 towards travel. Simply go to Fantrax.com/fantasypros to sign up today. Again, that's Fantrax.com/fantasypros to enter that Fantrax Game Day experience. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. And now back to the action. The next tier we're going to talk about, these are the guys on the borderline of wide receiver one. So the 1As, as I like to call them. This is players like T. Higgins at 10, Keenan Allen, A.J. Brown, Michael Pittman, D.J. Moore, Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin. There's a certain level of safety with some of these players, and then a certain level of leap of faith with others, I feel like. So when you're looking at this group, typically everybody has their favorite or their clear choice to say, yeah, this is a guy that I do believe is going to lock in wide receiver one potential. Harmon, when you look at this grouping here in this tier, who sticks out for you? Is it one of the guys in a new situation like A.J. Brown? Is it a guy that might have a bigger path with Michael Pittman, or a guy who's safer and historically been there like Keenan Allen?
Yeah, man, I really like this tier of wide receivers for sure, because I think there's a lot of like upside with the unknown. You know, for example, like a DJ Moore, you know, could he take a big leap? I have him ranked a couple of spots ahead of this. Could he take a big leap with Baker Mayfield, who I don't think you like, for example, with a player like Terry McLaurin, you kind of have to say through gritted teeth, like Carson Wentz is the best quarterback he's ever played with. I think Baker Mayfield is a clear cut upgrade. And even if I'm not the biggest Baker guy, I think he can help elevate DJ Moore. Michael Pittman, I mean, I love Michael Pittman, big Michael Pittman fan. And I don't think he actually, the more I've thought about it, I don't actually have a negative in the, not that he's a flawless player or anything like that, but like from a, like a big glaring negative in his pros and cons list to me, because.
Well, is the only negative that he hasn't done it yet? Is that the negative?
I don't, I mean, I think it would be that like Matt Ryan is like falls off a cliff, and like the Colts are dead wrong about their evaluation of Matt Ryan. And, you know, they're screaming from the hilltops how happy they are about Matt Ryan, and they threw Carson Wentz out the door with really no backup plan. So this Matt Ryan thing kind of fell in their laps. That would probably be the only negative, but I think Matt Ryan from like a passing statistic perspective was good last year. You know, good in a clean pocket, stuff like that. I think he'll be protected pretty well and be a good fit in the system. And Pittman, I think, is a superstar type of talent. I think he's that good. His reception perception is incredible. 96 percentile success rate versus press coverage. I think he has the talent that would warrant, like, if he had a top five season or something in fantasy, because Matt Ryan actually is even better than we're expecting. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's within his range of outcomes, though. I think it's unlikely he gets there.
Well, it's a huge offensive line upgrade from Atlanta to Indianapolis year over year for Matt Ryan. I don't think he's toast. And I think he has every reason to be excited about him the way you are. Friedman, who are you excited about in this tier when you look at it that you say, okay, I've got some established veterans, some guys that, you know, might be in some underwhelming offenses, but I know what I'm getting when it comes to the Moores and McLaurins? Or is there an upside play? Who is the guy for you that you want to target in this cluster?
I agree with Harmon's take on DJ Moore. I really like him, but the guy who really stands out, I just have to say AJ Brown. Like, this is, I mean, he's super talented. I'm not going to say he's the best wide receiver in the league, but I feel like on a talented basis, top five, this just feels like it's too late for a receiver of his caliber to be going. And I get the hesitation with it. New circumstances, maybe a really run heavy offense, a quarterback that people don't seem to trust, but Brown has 10.1 yards per target for his career. And that's including the playoffs. Like, out of players with at least 200 targets over the past 3 years, that's number three, just behind Deebo Samuel and Justin Jefferson. Like, he's, I think he's up there in the Jefferson tier as a talent. So even in a run heavy offense, I think Brown is going to surpass the 106 targets that and that's like the career high 106 targets that he's ever had in any season. I mean, I think that number should at least be 120, but if this team skews towards more of a pass heavy state, it could be 140, or, like, you know, the fantasy gods be good, 160. If AJ Brown gets that kind of usage, I mean, people are going to lose it with how he crushes. Like, he will be, I mean, like, wide receiver one, just dunking over everybody.
Let's talk about DJ Moore for a second, because this is another one that's got a big gap between you guys, right? He's got an ADP of wide receiver 18, the ECR of 14. So let's talk about this, because it seems like, you know, the public is not as enthusiastic necessarily about selecting DJ Moore, but it seems like you guys have said nice things about him. Friedman, is there something, you know, why is it Baker Mayfield now that's going to quote unlock DJ Moore, end quote?
Well, I mean, I think Baker is part of it. As Harmon said, he is the best quarterback, as mind-blowing as that is, the best quarterback that DJ Moore has ever had throwing to him. I think one reason why the public isn't as high on DJ Moore as some of the analysts are is that he hasn't had the touchdowns. So the overall fantasy points, the production hasn't been there, but he's had the usage. He plays in Carolina, which is just sort of like an off-market team, so people don't really pay attention to it as much. The offense could be really bad. They have someone who's kind of a joke as a head coach, and they have a quarterback. I mean, am I putting enough dirt on them? They have a quarterback who, even though we think that Baker Mayfield has the potential to be, let's say, like average, most people, like casual fans, think that Baker Mayfield is really bad. So I can understand why your friends and family drafter isn't as high on DJ Moore as the expert consensus.
Yeah. And now Harmon can understand why my quarterly reviews with Friedman afterwards, I always need a whiskey because of some of the things that he says and the bluntness in which he gives me critiques at times about how I do this job. But Harmon, talk to me about DJ Moore, because I mean, the public's not wrong. It's not like Baker Mayfield made a lot of stars out of a lot of wide receivers in his Cleveland days. Yeah. It's not that he, I mean, he had Odell, he had Jarvis Landry. I mean, these guys were okay at times, better than others at other times, worse at other times. But why all of a sudden are we saying, okay, yeah, Baker Mayfield, DJ Moore, this is the improvement level. This is where the touchdowns go up.
I think that for one, he's not going to score four touchdowns every year, right? Like at some point,
I don't know. You could have said that the last 3 years.
Point he's going to have seven, eight, right?
Yeah.
That's very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. I think you can project him for a really good target share. That's one thing about Carolina is that, you know, it's sort of billed as a, well, this is a good skill position group. I mean, not really. Like Christian McCaffrey obviously is going to command a good target share. Robbie Anderson, I think I'm not always quite sure what's going on with Robbie Anderson, but
Robbie Anderson isn't very sure what's going on with Robbie Anderson. So I could just,
he's going back and forth on the name. So, I mean, that alone, there's that. So, and then after that, they have Terrace Marshall, who was terrible last year as a rookie. Then, you know, they have Rashard Higgins, who, as Friedman said, the joke of a head coach, Matt Rhule's getting pissed at him for, you know, not for reaching the ball over the goal line and celebrating with his buddy Baker Mayfield. There's a chance he could just dominate targets there, just DJ Moore. So there's that part of it. And just in general, Baker Mayfield, basically, you know, he can be average and that's fine, but I understand the public's hesitation on it as well. But I do want to be a little bit bullish on DJ Moore, cause I think he's such a good player. And I do think the archetype of wide receiver that DJ Moore is fits a little bit better with the quarterback like Baker Mayfield than a guy like Odell Beckham, who requires a bit more timing precision than Baker probably has in his game.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros, because no matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. All right, let's move into the next group. This is the sexy group, the breakout potential guys, a lot of them in this tier. So you got Jaylen Waddle coming off a huge season last year, then Mike Williams, Courtland Sutton, Brandon Cooks, DK Metcalf, Allen Robinson, Friedman's favorite, Marquise Brown, Amari Cooper. Then again, we get to Jerry Jeudy, very popular guy, Darnell Mooney, Bateman. So you got Bateman, Mooney, Jeudy, you got Sutton, Mike Williams. These are a lot of names that people really like to talk about right now. So let's talk about the buzzy guys a little bit first. Courtland Sutton has an ECR six spots ahead of his ADP. Is that something, Harmon, that you think is correct? Like, should people, you know, the experts really being bullish on Courtland Sutton, and should people start paying more attention to that? Because so far ADP hasn't quite caught up with it.
Yeah, I get it. I think my contrarian take with this whole Denver situation is that I don't think these guys are actually as good as people think. You know, mainstream wisdom was, wow, Russ is getting dropped into a really great offense that's loaded with good skill position players that have been held back by this terrible quarterback. And quarterback play was definitely bad. But I also think that both Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton as individual players in their reception perception profiles were below expectation last year. I don't think either one of these guys, like, I wish they were both actually coming off great seasons where they looked good out there. They were separating at a really high rate. I would love that much more than the seasons they're coming off of. Like, Teddy Bridgewater is not good, or like, he's not a starting quarterback, but he ain't in like the level of Drew Locke, you know, or some of these other goofballs that Denver's rolled out there. So this was more of like, they have to wear some of the blame basically for how bad and unproductive they both were last year. That being said, you can write off both of their seasons due to injury with this, with Jeudy, especially has the high ankle sprain, and Sutton. I've noticed in reception perception that guys can be expected to lose almost 3% off their success rate versus man numbers in the first year that they're coming off an ACL. So you have to have a little, but it still takes a little bit of a leap of faith to get these guys there. And, you know, Russ is a very specific type of quarterback getting dropped into a different offense than he's ever played in. And every Russell Wilson offense basically just becomes the Russell Wilson offense. So while I'm in on Courtland Sutton, I have him ranked at wide receiver 8 or 19. I get where the public's hesitation is, because neither one of these, like, there's a lot of change going on here, but I do think that Sutton's the safest bet of this group. And I think Jeudy does bet. I know you didn't ask about Jeudy, but I think Jeudy benefits a lot from Tim Patrick being injured. Like, I actually kind of think he needed Tim Patrick to not be there in order to be ranked here. And I had him below this before that, and it took the Patrick injury for me to bump him inside my top 30 receivers.
Okay. So now with the Patrick injury taken into effect, would you rather Friedman take Courtland Sutton where he's going, or wait around and take Jerry Jeudy instead? Is there a market difference where you say, yeah, I got to reach for the Sutton brand? It's like the Coke versus Pepsi. One of them's on sale though. So does it make a difference to you? Are they just both cola?
At ADP, I would probably rather have Sutton than Jeudy. And I agree with Harmon's assessment, or like the perspective that Jeudy, and I'd say Sutton early drafters, got totally bailed out by the Tim Patrick injury, which sounds like a weird way of putting it, but I don't think those guys would have hit expectations that accompany their ADPs if not for the Tim Patrick injury. Now I think they're probably going in the accurate range. And what I prefer about Sutton is that he does have that downfield ability that we've seen previously. It's not to say Jerry Jeudy doesn't have it, but we have seen it with Sutton in the NFL, that downfield ability that I think really meshes well with Russ's inclination to throw downfield. So I prefer Sutton to Jeudy at ADP, but I think it's about the same.
Now, Darnell Mooney is ranked 5 spots ahead of his ADP, wide receiver 31. Rashad Bateman, 9 spots ahead of his ADP at wide receiver 36. These are two very trendy, buzzy names. Friedman, do you have a preference between these two guys? Do you like them both or neither?
Yeah, I mean,
That was not very convincing. That did not sound like you were excited at all.
I prefer Bateman. I will say I'm a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to Mooney, who could be really good. I'll just say, like, there's a chance that Darnell Mooney dunks on me this year. I'm just skeptical. And I'll say, like, the bull case is that everyone is so enthusiastic about Allen Robinson this year, wherein Darnell Mooney, like, really outperformed him. And, like, if you're being optimistic about Mooney, you could say that he was so good that he forced the coaching staff to push Allen Robinson into a different type of role so that they could accommodate Darnell Mooney. I'm just not that optimistic about him. Like, he's a fifth rounder who is a 2-star recruit and never had 1,000 yards as an undergraduate. You know, like, I'm just skeptical that he's actually able to do it again. It makes me think of, like, Harry Douglas back in the day, who had like 1,000 yards with 132 targets, and Kendall Wright, who had a similar season, and like Brian Hartline. It's like these guys, yeah, they had seasons where they got a whole bunch of targets coming their way because of circumstances. And maybe those circumstances conspire once again for Darnell Mooney to have 140 targets. And he looks like a number one receiver with over 1,000 yards receiving. But from my perspective, whether he gets that usage or not, he is not actually, in fact, a wide receiver one. And so I don't want to draft him as if he's that guy.
I was so close. All I needed was David Boston on my bingo card, and I would have checked all of them on that list. So close. I never win bingo. Harmon, let's go to you with the same question about Mooney and Bateman going back to back here. Basically, do you have a preference of these two guys? Do you see it like Friedman, where just more concerns about that Chicago offense and you would lean towards Bateman? But how do you feel about these two?
Yeah, I think these guys are a general toss-up because it's almost like you could make – they're almost like funhouse mirror versions of each other where, you know, Mooney, I agree with Friedman, like he's not a number one receiver. He's an ideal three and probably an acceptable two. So that's fine for me there. But he's going to get a boatload of targets. Like that situation that you said, like, will conspire, it obviously could be this year because there is just nothing on that depth chart behind him. So he might get a lot of 140 really ugly looking targets and ugly looking offense. Whereas I think Rashad Bateman is a future number one receiver. I think he can do it all. I think he can separate versus press man coverage on the outside, can beat zone coverage going over the middle, can win deep, can win contested, can win after the catch. I love Rashad Bateman, the player, but there are volume concerns in this offense because it's Baltimore. That being said, I think that he's a guy that will split maybe just over half the passing targets in Baltimore with Mark Andrews. Like, I think those guys own a 50%+ share to themselves. And they'll have an efficient quarterback, most likely an efficient passing quarterback with Lamar Jackson, maybe not quite the 2019 levels, but I think he gets back up there this year with a improved offensive line, fingers crossed about some injury guys there. But I think they're pretty close. And like I said, they're kind of funhouse mirror versions of each other, but I agree. If I'm sitting here betting on the guy that I think is a better player, it would be Rashad Bateman for
now,
sure.
And if you'd like, as we move on here, we're going to talk about Allen Robinson because we have to. It's part of the contract. Now, if you want to know Friedman's thoughts about Allen Robinson, you got to go back to the JJ Zacharyson pod from 2 weeks ago because there's a good 20-minute segment in there. That's very clear. Harmon, you've got him at wide receiver 18. Friedman's got him at wide receiver 30. ADP is going at 27, a little closer to Friedman's side. So what is it that, again, I keep giving everybody a chance to counter the Friedman Allen Robinson narrative. So I'd love to hear your take on Robinson this year, because some people very high, some people obviously not so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you followed reception for reception for a while, you know that Allen Robinson's a favorite of the series. Now, I think that for Robinson to think he's going to fail in this situation, you have to think he's like absolutely washed because the situation is that good. I don't think he's absolutely washed. You know, back in 2019, 2020, he was like a 96, 97th percentile separator versus press man coverage and reception perception. Not quite there last year, but was still at like the 81st percentile in success rate versus man coverage. So a small step back, but also I think the situation was absolutely terrible last year. Like kind of everything that can go wrong will go wrong type of situation with COVID, injuries, his contract situation, Matt Nagy being a donkey. I mean, even for Darnell Mooney, like it was basically all slants and curls in that offense last year with the Chicago Bears. And that doesn't fit either guy. And it doesn't fit the quarterback that they had either. So I'm kind of just willing to throw out everything from the Bears offense last year with Robinson, with Mooney, and even with Fields to a certain degree, although Fields was terrible last year, obviously in a bad environment, but was just another bad quarterback in a long line of bad quarterbacks. So I think as an individual player, Allen Robinson 100% still has it. Showed last year when you watch him in isolation that he does still have it. And then the situation for the Rams is great. You know, he's walking into a good target share with their across from Cooper Kupp and with an efficient quarterback in Matthew Stafford. I think the situation rocks. Robinson's still a good player. And, you know, I'd love for you guys and your viewers to trust my evaluations on wide receivers, but I also think you can have a really high degree of confidence in the Rams evaluation for pro level wide receivers. They nailed the Robert Woods signing when they got clowned for that contract back in the day. They traded for Brandon Cooks at the exact right time to help them go on a Super Bowl run in 2018. And then there were questions about Beckham. Was he washed up last year? And they do not get to the Super Bowl without Odell Beckham last year. And, you know, he was on his way to being the most important part of that game plan. And, you know, guys like Cooper Kupp have even confirmed that in interviews in the offseason that he was the main figure of that game plan. So, and even Sammy Watkins scored like 8 touchdowns as this team's X receiver at one point. So they've pretty consistently nailed these pro level evaluations. And I think they've nailed this one with Robinson too.
All right, Friedman, was that enough for you to move him from 30 to 29?
No, no, but I don't disagree with anything that Harmon said. My question is about the cost, the ADP. And so I want to ask you this because I do think that out of everyone who evaluates film, like you're up there. And so when you say something like Allen Robinson was a good technician last year, like he was able to do what he needed to do as a route runner, I trust you. My question is, if he hits, right, if he outperforms ADP, do you think he does it it's like such a way that you kind of have to draft him where he is versus what his floor might be, where if he underperforms ADP, given what we saw last year, if he underperforms ADP, do you think the floor just absolutely falls out? So I guess maybe phrased differently, do you think he's priced closer to his ceiling than to his floor?
I think he's priced pretty close to his floor from an ADP perspective, because I just don't see a situation where he does, unless he gets hurt, which, by the way, is totally within the range of outcomes, right? He struggled with like last year. I think a big part of why he, you know, wasn't a huge part of the game plan at certain times was because he was dealing with injuries. So,
right,
you know, that's definitely something to,
and
that's
he's older.
The one, and he's older, right? And we all, hey, listen, we're all getting older, fellas.
Hey, man, I popped a hamstring in my kid's football practice this week. I mean, don't talk to me about old right now. I'm wearing a brace and everything. It's terrible.
Bro, the right knee and the right shoulder just shot. I mean, I don't actually have a current injury, but I'm definitely like, I should probably see a physical therapist. But that's not the point. Allen Robinson going to have access to great medical care with the Los Angeles Rams. But yeah, I think that's really the only way the floor bottoms out is if he gets hurt, because, you know, Robert Woods is averaging 100, like pacing for 130 targets this year. And I think, or last year. And I think Robinson's a better player than Robert Woods. So I don't see any reason why he doesn't walk into that role. And then there's certainly a ceiling case there if he catches a bunch of touchdowns, which is, you know, that's the role I think they're kind of looking for with him and the role that they had with Odell Beckham last year. So I think the ceiling is there. The floor is only scary if he gets hurt to me. So, but I'm with you that I don't want to push Robinson too high. I have him at wide receiver 18. I feel like that's kind of a fair, like, hey, I want you to draft him at or above ADP, but you know, I know other people that have him like top 15 and I think that's pretty aggressive. So I don't know.
All right, let's move on to the sleepers here. This is tier 5. There's a lot of names in this, so I'm not really going to, you know, read them all off. But let's just start with Chris Godwin, whose value seems to be all over the place. It's really tough. I'm struggling to figure out where to rank or what to do with Chris Godwin. Friedman, what does your instinct tell you right now in terms of the investment in fantasy football? Do you see him as a clear wide receiver 3 that it's a good investment right now? Do you think he has the upside? Are you worried about the injury? Where do you stand with Godwin's evaluation?
I'm fading him, and it's not like I think this guy sucks. It's just I think if he ends up outperforming ADP, it won't be by much. So it's not as if I will be materially injured by not having drafted him. I think there's a ton of risk, a ton of downside. We don't know if he's going to be healthy for week one. Even if he is, I'm skeptical he's going to be fully efficient after the ACL tear. And even if he is back to his, you know, old self, he still has Julio Jones there who could still target. So I'm fading.
I love this group because it has so many names to me that I feel like are really good returns on investment that all have a lot of ceilings. A lot of the trendy names, Gabriel Davis. We have obviously Drake London's in this group. Alan Lazard, who seems to have a lot of targets potentially ahead of him. Elijah Moore, who had some incredible performances last year. When you're looking at some of those names, which one stands out to you, Harmon, that you say, yeah, this one or this one is the guy that I want to make sure that I target. And I'll even be aggressive on if I have to make sure I get him on my roster.
God, I mean, I could rattle off like 10 names in this group. Right. This is a real.
So what does that say about this group? Does this say that maybe that earlier conversation we had about, yeah, save Keenan Allen maybe isn't the way to go? Maybe that is where you make sure you do solidify running back a little bit and then pound this grouping here a little bit harder in terms of which names you want to get on your rosters because there's so many good ones.
Yeah, I have, depending on the backs that are there in round two, and I'm a little out of sorts because I've done a lot of super flex drafts lately. So it's always kind of hard to miss.
Never your apologize mind for doing too many super flex.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's, but I have enjoyed locking in like two running backs, you know, especially if you can get like a guy like Aaron Jones in the second round, and then, you know, plucking a few players from this tier, because there's a great mix of ceiling and floor here. Now, if I have to pick a couple names, like, I've drafted a lot of Juju this year. I think for the first time in human history, I'm really ahead of consensus on Juju. And Brandon Ayuk. I love drafting Brandon Ayuk in this range. You know, Friedman talked about Deebo Samuel potentially falling out of the top 10 earlier. And I think a big part of it is I do believe in the Brandon Ayuk ascension. You basically just take out what happened in weeks 1 through 8 last year. And Brandon Ayuk was the guy that you drafted him to be last year. And we know the situation that's the thing about. There's sort of this discussion, and Dalton and I just talked about it on the podcast. Like I mentioned, there's this discussion that Deebo Samuel's role in weeks 1 through 8, like that's the role that we want him to have, because his expected points were higher than when he was as like a rushing receiver hybrid. That situation that happened in weeks 1 through 8 ain't never happening again, you know, with Brandon Ayuk. And I don't think he's going back in the doghouse. So good player. I think that can take another step here. Could Ayuk? Dalton is like, he says it's like 50-50 between these two guys in terms of who could be better in fantasy. I don't know if I'm quite that strong, but I do think there's a chance that Ayuk is the best receiver on the 49ers roster this year, because I'm really that high on him as an individual player.
Lots of names in this group have big upside here, Friedman. Who are the guys that you're targeting in this group that you feel really confident? What are the names?
Two pretty obvious names, Gabriel Davis and Drake London. Gabriel Davis, I mean, we saw what he did in the playoffs, but for his career, including the playoffs, he's had 9.9 yards per target. That's a really high number. We know the touchdown capability that he has, 12.1% touchdown rate for his career. He's got the size, 6'2", a beefed up 227 pounds now. He was a 21-year-old rookie, which means he's just 23 years old now. So he's still ascending, and he's got a great quarterback who can support multiple fantasy-relevant weapons. And then Drake London, you know, rookies, they can sometimes be inconsistent, but this is the kind of rookie receiver I want. He's big. He's got the draft capital. He's young. He's productive in college. I mean, I think he's got the attributes to be like the next Mike Evans. So if I'm a year early in drafting him, that's fine. I want to take the shot.
Do you worry about Mariota holding him back and that offensive line holding the offense back completely?
It's the worst offense in the league. There are lots of reasons to be worried about the Falcons. So, yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. I guess in PPR, you like him, right? Because you say, all right, you know, the volume is just there. The volume's there. Even if it's crappy volume, it doesn't matter. It'll accumulate into points. But when you start to worry about half, where the touchdowns matter more, does London take a hit then for you?
I'm still going to be interested in him, because even if it's inefficient volume, I think it will result in the touchdowns and the yards. So that's what I'm focused on more. But the volume is king. I think that's going to be coming his direction, because there's nobody there. Like, name another Falcons wide receiver. It's almost
Brian
impossible.
Edwards.
Brian Edwards, sorry. Baby.
I just wanted to name one. You cheated. I was just accepting the challenge. I didn't cheat. I didn't even look at a depth chart. I didn't have to. Very excited about him. Cordarrelle Patterson. I can name two. Ha ha. All right.
Auden Tate. Just look at Ian Harden's Twitter feed. Yeah. You know Auden Tate on the roster. Auden Tate,
these guys are not wide receivers. It's a trick.
Fair enough. Michael Thomas is in this tier as well. Harmon, this was once upon a time a few years ago, the 1-1 player, arguably, in fantasy football. He looks pretty good so far. I've been making some, I would say, selective investments. I just took him in flex this weekend as my third wide receiver, because I figure, hey, if he's my third guy, I can get some reliable fourth guys. I want the upside in that wide receiver 3 spot. Are you buying back in slowly to Michael Thomas? And then when do you stop buying in, where it gets a little bit too high if things are going too well that you start to get a little worried?
I don't know that he can get up to a range where I'd be too worried about it, because I think he doesn't have the 2019 season in his range of outcomes, I don't think, in this offense. Not because of Drew Brees. Like, I think that sort of in the same way that folks think like Deontay Johnson's only a little like pop gun receiver because he was playing with the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger. I kind of think the same thing about Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. Like, people think he can only run slants because Drew Brees can only throw slant routes. I am actually kind of excited to see Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston sort of try to mesh together, because it's just stylistically really interesting. I'm totally okay taking the plunge in this range, but I think there's definitely a wide range of outcomes with Thomas. Not because, like, if you could guarantee me that he's going to be on the field for 17 games and be, you know, I don't know, 85% of the player he has been in his peak, because I think he was a really good player at his peak, then I think that there's, you know, no shot that he outright fails at a wide receiver 30 cost, but that would be stupid to assume that Michael Thomas is going to be on the field for 17 games for, you know, one reason or another. So I think that kind of answers the question that I think there's a wide range, but I don't know that he's ever going to get to a point. I don't think the public will ever trust him to a point where it's too pricey for me.
Freeman, where are you at with Michael Thomas right now?
Yeah, I'm invested. Love the upside. Of course, mm-hmm. There's downside based on the health, but I'm very invested in him. I have him ranked highly.
All right, last question here before we hit our mailbag and then head out for the day. I know for me, I got a lot of KJ Osborne on rosters. Romeo Dubs has become a guy that people have really started to talk about. Is there somebody, Harmon, that you were like, yep, this is my late wide receiver that sits in my queue and I just take him for free every time?
Nico Collins, take him at the end of the draft every single time. Big Nico Collins fan. I mean, he was, just from a cost adjusted standpoint, let me be clear about that. I think there's some poor man's T. Higgins-ish type of signals in his rookie year reception perception. He's, I think, pretty much going to moonwalk into 100 targets in this Texans offense. And he's one guy that I'm not crazy about, but I've got him ranked at wide receiver 51 just to signal like, hey, if he's available in your queue, like you said, take him in the late rounds, because I think there's a chance he's got a little bit of upside if Davis Mills is decent. And honestly, Davis Mills, from a rookie passing perspective, was decent last year.
Freeman, how about for you outside this top 60? Who are some of those free wide receivers or names that people should know in deeper leagues?
I think he's still going outside of the top 60 or just right in that range. Have you guys ever heard of Julio Jones? Like, I hate to say it. It's so stupid. But he's like, for me, the opposite of Allen Robinson in terms of like how I'm approaching them. Like, if Allen Robinson were as cheap as Julio Jones were, I would want him everywhere. Right. And that's how I feel about Julio. Like, he's got the injury issues, that I'm not dismissing that at all. But when he's been on the field, he's had 10.4 yards per target over the past two seasons. That's number four across that time. Like, that is still an elite number. And when a guy normally declines, like, he's got the injury issues, but you normally also see him, the decline in efficiency. And we just haven't seen that same decline in efficiency that we normally see with other guys. So I am still on board with Julio. I know he's fragile, so maybe he plays only four games, maybe eight games. If that's the case, I look totally stupid, but that's kind of baked into his ADP at this point. So I'm going to take the shot on a guy who's, like, you know, last we saw, still playing like a Hall of Famer when he has a healthy hamstring.
All right, there you go. Same kind of investment, but one is much cheaper than the other.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's move on to the listener mailbag. And this is straight from our Discord, which you can join for free at fantasypros.com/chat. And of course, when you're a premium member, guess what? You get access to the AMAs and the stages and all that fun stuff we do there too. So once again, membership has its privileges there. This is from Clady, I believe. Who would you guys keep in the season out of these four players? Leonard Fournette, Pittman, Waddle, or Akers? Now, guys, if this is a situation where I can keep somebody forever, I imagine we're going to lean towards one of these wide receivers here. I don't want to step out of bounds. Friedman, do you favor one of these wide receivers as the keeper in this group, or are you just trying to win now with a Fournette or Akers?
No, I'm with you. Assuming that you can keep these guys multiple years, Pittman is the guy that I'm looking at here.
All right. So is it Pittman over Waddle for you as well, Harmon?
Yeah, same goes for me here. I would go Pittman over Waddle if that's the case.
All right. What if Waddle had a better quarterback? Would that change your tune? Because he might get one next year.
Well, the Dolphins no longer have two first round picks, which I actually think was interesting, right? When they had Tua, it was, you know, they've got two firsts. You know, if Tua is just mediocre next year, they have a really easy way to immediately upgrade, or, you know, it'd be a rookie passer most likely, unless there's like a disgruntled Russ type of veteran next year, which, who knows, the NFL's crazy now, that might happen. But yeah, I think that, sure, it'd be great if both of these guys had a better long-term quarterback situation, because I think with Matt Ryan, like, you're probably getting him for this year, and I'm hoping next year. I'm hoping the Colts don't have to do this damn dance again at quarterback again next year. But that's it. Then after that, we're back in quarterback wilderness, theoretically, with the Colts. And I think the Dolphins are squarely in quarterback wilderness right now, too.
All right, Cletty, thanks for the question. And again, go check out our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. Go check out our draft kit now available at fantasypros.com/kit. It is free. But of course, when you upgrade to the premium product at Fantasy Pros, which you can at fantasypros.com/offers, check out the offers, make a small deposit. Then you get 6 months for free of the premium features. You get access to the complete draft kit. You get access to all of the draft tools, draft intelligence, the cheat sheet creator, the draft assistant with sync. And then, of course, all the My Playbook tools in season to manage all of your rosters. Imagine you play in 5 leagues, 10 leagues, all in different sites. You could set all your lineups just from Fantasy Pros from the app all at one time. That's pretty spectacular. That's game changing. That's time saving. That's what you want. So go check it out. All of this is available at Fantasy Pros. Again, I want to thank Matt Harmon. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at @MattHarmon_BYB. And of course, check out all of his fantastic work over at Yahoo Fantasy. We appreciate his time today. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP. Again, that's JOEYP, manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. If you're playing fantasy football this year, make sure you do it at Fantrax. Head over to fantrax.com/fantasypros. Sign up for free today and be entered to win the Fantrax Game Day experience, where your entire fantasy league could be going to the NFL game of your choice. Again, that's only at fantrax.com/fantasypros. And of course, visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code fantasypros no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Matt Friedman and Matt Harmon, I'm Matt Pizzapia. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.